This is the BBC.
Thursday's Scott Mills Daily starts right now. Alice Levine has a shocking revelation to us all on Real or No Real. Our listener Will has told his parents a big fat lie and agrees to tell them the truth on the show. Oh, and Tom Hardy wants to read you a bedtime story again. Scott Mills, BBC Radio. We played you Kygo and Selena Gomez, It Ain't Me, and then Human, Rag & Bone Man. And good afternoon, this is Scott Mills. How's it going? I've got Sia and Sean Paul with Cheap Thrills coming up, and Catfish and the Bottle Men. And this is Martin Solvig and Places. Hope you're good this afternoon.
I come back to the places where we found us.
Mills.
One.
BBC. Radio 1.
Right, we're on. Hey, Chris.
Hey.
Right, let's take a call, actually. Hello, Radio 1.
Hey, are you okay, hon?
Why?
Well, you didn't hit your vocal on the first crunch and roll at the top of the show.
Who is this?
Are you our boss?
No, Tom in Cheshire. You're all right.
Yeah, I'm all right.
I was going to say, is Chris there to hold your hand today? But he is.
I'm fine.
Yeah, I'm not in charge of him hitting the, what did you call it?
The vocal.
Hit the vocal. So yeah, usually time it really well and then it hits the vocal, but there was loads of time today.
Right, okay. Just,
sloppy. Yeah. What you're saying is Scott's been a bit sloppy.
Very.
I just wanted to let it breathe. How come you know all these terminologies?
I've just did a bit of research, Scott. Right. Yeah.
What do you do?
I'm a music production student.
Ah, that would explain it. So the crunch and roll.
I do dabble in radio. I do dabble.
The crunch and roll is where I start the song and then talk, and then hopefully talk up to when they start singing.
You're
right. I did spectacularly fail it on Martin Solvig today.
You failed miserably, Scott.
Yeah, I did.
I mean, you sound like you're marking this all as you listen to the show. So no more mistakes. You're basically saying,
please, guys. Yeah.
It wasn't a mistake.
Keep it tight.
It wasn't a mistake.
Yeah. Keep it tight, please, Mills. Up
Come
and
on.
Tight, please.
All right, okay, I'll try and hit the next vocal for you, all right?
All right, yeah.
But I'm absolutely fine, hon. All right, love you, bye.
Love you, bye.
Scott Mills.
This is BBC
Radio 1.
This one has no intro, so it's fine. Catfish and the Bottle Men. All right, it does. Catfish and the Bottle Men and 7 on BBC Radio 1. I think I'm losing it, Chris.
Larry caught a load of smoking.
Scott Mills.
Earlier in the week, when you were away, Chris, I asked people to tell me if they told a massive, massive lie in the last 24 hours. So what I thought we could do today is I'm going to get one of the liars on who confessed to me and try and get them to confess to the person they told the lie to in the first place. I'll try.
It's such a good idea.
Right, so I think it'll just clear the air, you know. I'm thinking of doing this about 3 o'clock, and it could be something that could be well worth listening to, if potentially cringe. So, one of the liars that came on, can we get them to confess to the person they told the lie to on the radio? We'll do it around 3.
BBC Radio 1!
Hello, who's this, please?
Hi there, it's Nick.
Hi, Nick, what's going on?
I just wanted to get in touch with the show to talk about pooing.
Okay.
So, I'm living in the French Alps at the minute. I'm keeping up with the show, listening to the podcast.
Oh, living in the French Alps, are you? Whereabouts?
I'm in Châtel, so it's right on the eastern border near Switzerland.
Ah, Châtel, yes.
Do you know Châtel well?
Yeah. Are you there for the Rock de Piste Festival, or have you just decided to go there?
No, we've been here since October, living here.
Oh.
Rock de Piste is on at the minute, but we've not been to any yet.
Why are you full on living there?
We just wanted a bit of a change of scenery, really.
What do you mean? You wanted a change of scenery? What do you mean? You just upped and left and now live in the Alps?
Yeah, pretty much.
I like your style.
Well, it's been nice. I mean, we've had a nice flat Leicestershire in England and now we're stuck on the top of a mountain in the Alps.
Do you know my favourite spot in Châtel is the, the pub Avalanche?
Yes. We're regularly in the Avalanche.
Yeah.
Of course you know, Mills.
Yeah. Anyway, Nick, how can I help you? Sorry about this.
I've just been listening to the podcast. I'm a little bit behind, but I recently listened to the episode on poo sticks. And I just wanted to get in touch to let you know how my girlfriend and I have taken the game to the next level.
Okay, right, I remember this. We had a group of lads who play poo sticks in the local river on their lunch break every day. Do you remember? We had a theme tune and everything. This was it.
Poo, 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 poo sticks. Poo, 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 poo sticks. Poo, 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 poo sticks. Poo, 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 poo sticks. Poo, 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 poo sticks.
Yeah. Poo Sticks UK, they were called. They got a lot of Twitter followers after we spoke to them. But just a group of lads that play it at lunchtime.
So, guys, 3, 2, 1, drop. We're away. All the sticks have hit the water. It's only a short bridge. It's only 4 metres. They're going to be outside any second now. We're waiting for the first stick. We're all peering over. And who is it? Who is his? Whose stick is that? It's Ryan's stick. Ryan's won. We're still waiting for the stick.
Ryan wins.
We have a winner. We don't have a second or a third place. It's probably stuck on the tyre or the trolley underneath the bridge, to be honest.
It's a great game live on BBC yeah. Poo.
Thanks, mate.
That was Ewan and his mates. So how are you taking it to the next level, Nick?
So first, I just wanted to say I'm dead happy that you guys are giving Poo Sticks the recognition it deserves.
Well, I think so, yeah.
And my girlfriend and I, we'd often partake in a game in the UK when we were walking our dog. And we just decided, really, that dog walks in the Alps, it just weren't the same without it.
Right.
So we've adapted the game to suit our new environment, and this has led us to invent Poo Sticks Extreme.
Okay, and how does this work?
But hang on, so in case anyone doesn't understand the game Poo Sticks is you throw a stick into the water, it goes under the bridge, the first stick past the bridge wins. How does that work in the Alps?
So, just think Poo Sticks, but we've added adrenaline and excitement. It still starts the same, we've got two sticks dropped in unison at a start point. But we've got no bridges, we're on a river flowing down a mountain, so we have to choose a designated finish line, so a significant rock or an overhanging branch. And so we start the same, sticks are dropped, but once they're in, they've got to navigate whirlpools, rapids and various rocky obstacles to reach the finish line.
Whoa, extreme, dude! I love this.
There's an infinite number of routes a stick can take, because the river's got rocks, everything, as I stated, and, you know, an early lead in Poo Sticks Extreme means nothing. The pole position stick can change at any time, and it's an absolute tense battle to the finish.
And who normally wins? Extreme, who normally wins out of you and your girlfriend?
It's a mixture, really. I'd like to say that I win more, but I think probably my stick choice might be better.
And where do you play, then?
So we've tested a lot of rivers around here, but the best races, we've been going 45 minutes over the border into Switzerland, and that's kind of been the best river.
Whoa.
For Poo Sticks Extreme.
Have you got a job, or...?
Yeah. Oh. I work as a transfer driver, driving between the ski resort and the airport.
Wow, I see, right. Just feels like you've got a lot of spare time, but I'm digging it.
Yeah.
Well, I imagine it's quite relaxing.
Or
is it not?
Really.
No?
There's kind of a dangerous aspect to it, to be honest.
The poo stick extreme.
Yeah, I mean, the river's quite fast flowing, so we do literally have to run along the riverbank to keep track of the sticks.
Really gets the adrenaline going, right?
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be long until we've got the first recorded poo sticks related injury.
No, just be careful.
We will do.
That's true. Probably no one has ever been injured in the history of poo sticks.
Until...
Yeah, I think that's so, but I think it's at risk of happening here.
Until Poo Sticks Extreme, dude! Thanks so much for the update, Nick. It's good to know that you're listening in the Alps there.
No problem.
And enjoy playing the poo in the Chatel there.
We will do. We'll continue pooing.
Yeah.
Thanks ever so much.
Je t'aime au revoir.
Je t'aime au revoir. You love a drink? Or love wood?
No, I'm saying love you, bye. I love wood.
Oh.
Love you bye in French, shouldn't it?
Je t'aime au revoir. I'm just saying love you bye.
Je t'aime au revoir. I love wood.
Je t'aime au revoir.
I love wood.
This is BBC Radio 1. Scott Mills.
Nick's been on saying, I love how this guy is calling you from the Alps, yet there's less of a delay than when you were on Lorraine Kelly's show with Fern. Oh, I forgot about that.
That was horrible.
Oh, you know I've still not heard from her.
It was so bad because... You know, we were basically saying jokes and you had to wait so long for the punchline to get through. In fact, it was worse than that. Fern was telling jokes.
Yes. So we did the Lolathon for Comic Relief last week and we got to go on Lorraine. But Fern was sitting in for Lorraine Kelly and we were here at the Radio 1 studios. Fern was back at the Lorraine studios. But there was a terrible delay, which doesn't work when someone is trying to tell you jokes. I do want to hear it again, though.
What do Alexander the Great and Winnie the Pooh have in common? The same middle name.
No, I don't know this one.
Alexander the Great?
Like that.
Fern, do you even get that one?
Yes. No, I do. I just don't like jokes very much.
BBC Radio 1. Scott Mills.
So, do you remember on Valentine's Day, CBBC did a great thing by getting Tom Hardy to read out the bedtime story, which is obviously for kids, but...
But they know what they're doing.
They know exactly what they're doing, and a lot of girls and boys enjoyed it too.
Cloud spotting with a best friend is definitely more enjoyable, especially if your best friend is a dog.
And I spotted that you're not in bed yet. Quick, go on. Get yourself tucked up, and I'll see you very soon for another bedtime story. Till then, night-night.
Oh, yeah,
they know what they're doing. Mums everywhere,
that must
loving
be,
it.
That must be one of like the most popular bedtime stories they ever had on CBBC. It's Tom Hardy, man.
Go on, get yourself off to bed.
Go on.
Oh, wait for me there.
I've noticed you're not asleep yet. But he's back. And guess what day they're doing it on? Mother's Day.
Of course they are. They know exactly what they're doing.
So this time... Tom Hardy is reading another story on Mother's Day. Do you remember when we sent you out to read your own bedtime story inspired by Tom because you wanted to kind of get in on the action? And you read out that classic nonsense poem, didn't you?
Mm. The Owl and the Pussycat.
Edward Lear.
Oh, lovely pussy. Oh, pussy, my love. What a beautiful pussy you are.
Now, the one that Tom is doing this coming Mother's Day is called... There's a bear in my chair, on my chair. You want a little sneaky peek here?
Hmm? Well, I think that there's enough room for our mouse and bear to sit together here. Because it's good for a mouse and a bear to share. I'll see you soon for another bedtime story. Till then, night-night.
Yes, yeah. Mother's Day, everyone. That's the next Tom Hardy bedtime story. There's a bear on my chair.
Yeah, people are already getting very excited for this, Scott. I'm just looking at some of the comments on Twitter. I think this one sums it up. From someone called Fluff, she says, he can put his bear on my chair, if you know what I mean.
This is BBC Radio 1. Scott Mills.
This is weird. When driving down a road makes you remember bits of our show. Ben from Inverness has been on. Hey guys, I drive a lot because it's my job, and I've just driven down a road I don't usually use. And I remember the last time I drove down this road, it brought back the memory of Chris talking about getting a spray tan in a booth and wearing paper pants. Shows how long it's been since I drove down this road.
Mm.
So Ben obviously doesn't go down there very often, but the last time he was there, you were obviously telling the story about your fairly horrific spray tan incident.
Yeah.
That's quite weird.
It's funny what evokes memories, right?
It's like, oh, I remember the last time I was on this road, you were talking about paper pants.
No, but you know how smells bring back certain things and sounds. So maybe, I mean, what was he doing in the car at the time? That's the question.
Just driving, he drives for his job. But it's weird that he remembers the exact story because of the road he's on. Was that the spray tan lady with the unfortunate photo of you where she was kind of like knelt down trying to...
A picture emerged from the situation where, yes, she was on her knees and tanning me.
Yeah.
But the sort of the tent is blocking some of the picture and it looks dodgy.
And then we had her on the show afterwards.
Absolutely, baby. No, I love feedback. It's brilliant. Thank you. No, I need feedback.
We just gave her some feedback on the spray tan.
This is Scott Mills.
BBC Radio 1.
Absolutely, baby. No, I love feedback.
I love feedback. Hello, Charlie.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, where are you, please?
Feedback. I'm in Milton Keynes.
What are you doing?
I am baking cookies.
Why?
For Red Nose Day, for tomorrow.
Oh, okay. Are you a baker? Or are you just at home? And
Ironically, I used to be a baker. I'm not anymore, but I used to be a baker. So I have a pressure on me. Everyone in my new workplace knows that I was a baker, so...
Are you a brownie? I thought that's what they normally do, isn't it? Sort of for Red Nose Day. It's more like that. It's sort of more of a child's activity. What are you going to do? Are you going to sell them?
Yeah, we're going to sell them at work, make a little bit of money for Red Nose Day.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good for Red Nose Day tomorrow. Make sure you watch us, because we're on BBC One tomorrow, right?
I will watch you. I'm working early shifts, yeah. I'll watch you tomorrow evening.
We're doing Inuendo Bingo around 8 o'clock.
Also, I think it's always funny.
I've just seen on my schedule for the rehearsal tonight, Chris, that you're not going to be there. What's that about?
Yeah, sorry.
That's rude.
Why are you not there? Why am I going and you're not?
Your name above the door.
Yeah, but why?
I don't really think
you
need
a stand in now. Have you like Justin Bieber when he rehearses?
No, I just thought, to be honest with you, all I'm doing is spitting. What do I really need to rehearse?
Yeah.
You're so keen for this. Like you're too keen. What you're doing is you're like, you want us to turn up early, you want us to overthink it.
It's BBC
One. I think
One.
Just let it be fun.
It's like, a big deal.
I think you're overthinking
Yeah, I think he's overthinking it as well. Yeah. It's just spitting.
Okay. I totally agree with you. Scott, you're overthinking it because...
I guess you can practice not laughing though.
Yeah, because on BBC One, you don't want to muck it up.
You will be there on time tomorrow, won't you?
I'll be there on time. I'm just deciding what T-shirt to wear.
Oh, no.
What T-shirt to wear?
Yeah, because I might get one with a message on.
Oh, God.
Okay.
Because it's live TV, you see. Yeah. So any,
that's what worries me.
True.
The opportunity to do anything. Yeah, I'm just trying to work it. In fact, if anyone has any good ideas what I could do live on BBC One tomorrow during Innuendo Bingo,
then absolutely don't send them in.
Let me know. 81199.
Is it true that you do a cracking impression of Ed Sheeran?
I wouldn't say cracking, but I do music production with my friend, and people have said that my style of music I write is a bit like Ed Sheeran, but I would not say I'm anywhere near as good. But
okay,
yeah.
let's hear it.
Okay. And they say she's in the class A team, stuck in her daydream. Been this way since 18, but lately her face seems slowly sinking, wasting, crumbling like cookies. And they scream, cookies. The worst things in life can freeze us.
Hey, yes. Very good.
Just like Ed, yes. Right, here's what I've got for you today on Bangers. What a song, a cappella, Khalees.
That is a banger.
I would love to hear this.
That is quite the banger.
I would love to hear this.
It is your choice though, Charlie. You can have that, or you can have my choice, which is this.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, I haven't heard that in a while.
Azealia Banks, 212. Another banger.
Yeah. Kind of similar. Similar bangers.
Yeah, definitely I agree with that.
Tough decision. Sure. I can't hear that.
Kind of are.
They are pretty much
tough
the same.
One.
Same. They're the same. So, what are you going to do?
Now, I think I'm going to have to go 212, if I'm honest.
Really?
That's bringing up some memories.
Bam.
All right. I will be putting Khalees back in again, though, because, a bit annoyed about that. It's good. I always get anxious, though, just to make sure I am playing the right edit.
Mm.
Do you think there's some songs on Radio 1 that we've played over the years? It's almost no point in playing them.
What, because so many words.
That was, that's definitely one of them, but it's still good. Azealia Banks and 212.
210.
210. But please, we play the right version, and well won. So it's two.
Well, it's a tricky one this week because there's been days I haven't been here. But basically, whilst we've been together, I'm 2-0 up.
Scott Mills.
Earlier in the week, I was asking people to get in touch with the show and tell me the biggest lie you've told in the last 24 hours. You were away at this point.
Yes,
but there was a huge response. So many lies being told by our listeners, but one of these big lies really stood out to me, and that was from our listener Will. And I've got him on the line now. Hi, Will.
Hi, Scott.
So, Chris wasn't here, and for anyone else that didn't hear it that's listening now, tell me what your big lie was that you told.
So, I told my parents that I was getting a better degree than I was, but it had taken an extra year, whereas really I failed the first year and they're funding it.
I see.
Yeah.
So it's more a short-term solution now, isn't it? Because obviously you're going to be at uni longer than you expected because you're having to redo a year. But what you're claiming is that you're doing like a master's or something like that?
Yeah. It's sort of, I've managed to add an extra year onto my degree by changing the level of it.
Because most masters take a year longer or 2 years longer than your normal uni time, Scott.
Right.
So whereas you might be in uni for 3 years, if you're doing a master's, you have to be there for like 4 or 5 years. Now, the reality is he's failed his first year. So he's, I mean, it's, but the thing is, it's going to cause you problems later.
But, Will, you had a great time the first year, didn't you?
Oh, I had an awesome time. It's been brilliant.
But spectacularly failed. So what have you actually told the parents?
Yeah, I've just told them that it's going to take me a year longer because it's a better degree and that it's, you know, sort of, I'm going to walk away with a much better job prospect, really.
Okay, well, this is going to catch up with you at some point, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. We'll just have to see how long.
You're just putting it off, aren't you?
I'm putting off the inevitable, probably.
Here's the thing, Will, and this is why I've got you back on today. Right?
Yeah.
I am offering you a chance now to, you know where this is going, don't you? To right the wrongs that you have told your parents. Because I've got to be honest, when we had this story on air the other day with you, there was quite a backlash from people. Because the parents are paying for it for another year. To make you feel better and to make probably the listeners feel better and eventually your mum and your dad, why don't we call one of your parents and just tell them the truth?
Oh, this could be interesting.
But the thing is, you're going to have to say it eventually anyway, so why not come clean now? Who do you think it would take it the best, your mum or your dad?
Definitely dad. Right. Definitely dad.
Why do you say that?
I think he's, you know, he'll be much calmer about it. It'll be fine.
He's quite chilled, is he?
I hope so.
Right.
Is it fair to say that you probably don't want to fess up? The problem is, when you do a lie, you're obviously just putting off things, but it's not easy to admit to lying as well. You're in quite deep.
This isn't going to be easy.
Here's the thing, Will. I failed my first year at uni as well, but I dealt with it in a slightly different way. I just told my parents, and it wasn't nice. And I see why you have done your lie, because you want to avoid that tricky discussion. But actually, it might have been better just to tell them.
You think so?
Yeah, but you're in deep in a lie now.
Right. I'll tell you what. You don't seem that sure, but I will. I'll give you the length of this song to have a think about it, and I'll come back to you. All right.
All right.
I don't want to make you do anything you don't want to do. Right, I'll play this. Have a think.
Scott Mills.
Just been speaking to Will on Radio 1. He failed his first year at uni, but hasn't told his parents. Instead, he's told them that he has to stay another year because he's invented another level.
Now, he's too deep in the lie.
Now, I just spoke to Will off air. I suggested calling his dad and just being honest, because it's going to catch up with him eventually. The truth will catch up.
Yeah, but what you have suggested, Scott, is him doing this on air, I assume.
That's right. So I've just spoken to Will, and you want to do it, don't you, Will?
Yeah, you
want to call your dad? Okay.
Are we all sure this is a good idea?
Yes.
So we could have a situation where we've basically got a dad telling off his son on Radio 1.
Yes.
But the flip side could be that actually it all clears the air and then you won't have that guilt anymore, Will.
Because otherwise it's going to be hanging over you, Will, you know?
Yeah, I suppose it's just easy to get it out of the way, isn't
it? Totally.
Yeah, how are you feeling about this, Will?
I'm nervous. Hmm. I'll give you that. I am nervous, but we'll just have to see how he takes it.
What's your dad's name?
Peter,
okay. Well, the thing is, I'm not even going to be in this call. I mean, I'll probably pop up at the end just to smooth things over, depending on how it goes. But you'll be on your own. So once the phone rings, it's just like you and your dad having a normal conversation.
So how's this working, Scott? We're going to connect them together and just listen in, and Will's going to fess up.
Yeah.
Brace everyone.
Okay.
Okay.
A slight cringe warning here that I'm issuing right
slight.
Now.
Slight.
Okay. So I've got your dad's number from you. So are you ready?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. Remember, it could be all fine after this, and you don't have to worry anymore about it. It's out there.
Fingers crossed.
Good luck.
Hello.
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 Hello. Right, yes. Now, you remember the other day?
Yeah.
I said something to you, which was, you know, I've got to sort of, you know, I'm going on to that degree level and I've got to, you know, do the extra year.
Yeah.
It was a small white lie.
Right.
I've messed a couple of modules up this year, so I've sort of got to resit first year.
Oh, my God.
Sort of, you know, 4 years, but it's
4 years still, but I've just got to, you know, do another four.
First year all over again.
But just think, though, I can know where I've gone wrong. I'll get much better marks this time, and we won't be in this situation this time next year.
Okay. So this is just a slightly longer four-year degree where you thought you'd just reset the first year just to make it a little bit better.
A lot better, ideally, I need to make it. So.
Right. So that sort of how's everything going has been a bit, okay.
Yeah, it's most of it's been going fine, if, you know.
Which bit's been going fine?
Yeah, apart from sort of, you know, the exams and things like that, you know, Christmas exams, they were a bit iffy.
Okay. So this sort of resetting, sort of just a whole year. It's like only a year. Is that what you're just saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but basically, yeah, I failed them. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, hello. Peter. Is that Peter?
Yeah, hi.
Hey, it's Scott Mills here from BBC Radio 1.
Hey, Scott.
I'm sorry about this. Please don't swear.
Yeah.
But I was doing a thing on my show the other day, and I was asking people to get in touch and tell me the biggest lie you've told in the last 24 hours. And your son, Will, got in touch to say that he's failed his first year at uni, but that's not what he told you, is it?
No, not really.
No. What did he tell you again?
Just the degree might be a bit longer.
Right.
And like an extra year.
He'd invented another extra level, which isn't there. Because basically, all he's done is fail the first year.
Yeah.
Why did that happen again, Will?
You know, there was not quite enough work going in some subjects. I didn't do as well in the Christmas exams as I could have.
Right. And what were you doing instead?
Little bit of a party, you know.
Right.
Just every now and then.
Okay.
Okay, right. Well, the thing is, he was worried, obviously, about calling you, Peter, but I think I don't know, I'm not speaking for you, Will, but I think you feel better now it's out in the open and kind of cleared the air a bit?
Yeah, much better.
Yeah, because otherwise the lie would just continue, and he felt bad about that, Peter.
Okay, yeah. Yeah.
So, Peter, just to underline that, he will be having to do another year at uni because he failed his first year and he will be retaking that year.
Yeah.
The good news in all this is he's not lying to you anymore.
That's right.
Yeah. Scott, if you take it that way, I suppose there is a good bit there that, you know, he's not lying to me anymore.
Exactly.
About that bit. Just a whole new year to do.
Just a whole year, yeah.
You might have to pay for another year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's all out in the open now. Peter, how do you feel about this?
Shocked.
Yes. Understandable.
A little surprised.
That's all good, Will, right?
Yeah, grand. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
Please be nice to him, Peter.
I will be. Yeah.
All right.
I will be.
I'm imagining that there'll probably be another phone call which we're not hearing after this, but... But Will, very brave.
Cheers, Scott.
Well done. And Peter, thanks for taking it so well.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks, Scott.
Thank you.
All right.
See you soon. Bye.
Cheers.
This is BBC Radio 1. Scott Mills.
Wow. Phil Manchester says, I don't cringe easily, but that was horrible, and now I'm sweating. Alice Levine would probably die. my face is melting from cringing, but laughing at the same time. So hard. Not cringe so hard since you were on Strictly, says James off of MK.
I thought he took it surprisingly well, the news.
I did. Loads of people were stopping what they were doing for that. But it's just the reaction when he tells him and he realises what the lie has been.
So I've sort of got to resit first year.
Oh my God.
Scott Mills.
So much reaction to Will telling his dad about his slight lie that he told him about university. Lily says, I definitely hung up on a customer so I could listen in on the lie reveal. This person says, this is Alana, how about having to tell your mum you're restarting the first year of college for the sixth time? Didn't even make it to uni. Yeah, that's pretty harsh.
I think honesty is the best policy, though. Plus, I think we need more of these types of confessions, maybe.
I totally agree. So, hey, listen, if you have told someone a lie and it's kind of lingering around in your mind and you're like, oh, what should I do about it? Because I'm going to have to come clean at some point, that they're going to find out. And you want to use Radio 1 to smooth it over. And I think you agree. My smooth over tactics are on point.
No, you're particularly good with mums, I think.
Yeah. So email me, scott.mills@bbc.co.uk. And I can take the burden off you.
Scott Mills.
Alice Levine.
Hello.
Hi there.
I'm so into that song.
Me too. I love it. It's my fave. I've got lots of faves at the moment. Do you know Sigrid?
Yeah, very aware, yeah.
Yeah,
very that's good. Very, that's very keen.
My tune of the week. So, still reeling, really, from the Lolathon last week, of which you were a large part.
Of which you were a bit player. No. Yeah, you've both kind of returned to a normal shade. I saw Chris outside work. The morning, was it? The day before, as it were.
Oof.
And you were just a funny shade of grey. It was just, yeah, just the shock of it all.
Yeah.
Just constantly being on guard that we might not ever work here ever again. It
was, yeah, also, we were talking, weren't we? And halfway through the conversation, I was just like, Alice, I need to go home.
Which was a great way of getting out of a conversation you don't want to be in. I'm so sorry, I can't be here anymore.
I just didn't have the energy to even try and, like, politely leave a situation or...
Thanks very much for coming in, though, with you and your podcast friends. Podcast friends.
Those friends.
Because it was just great. I loved the whole thing. And thank you very much again for all the money we raised for Comet Relief. We're on doing Inu the Bingo on the telly tomorrow night.
Stop.
8 p.m. Yeah. BBC One.
Okay, I'm writing it on my hand. That means it's happening.
You actually are writing it on
your
hand.
Okay.
Here are your real or no real facts for today.
Alice Levine isn't really ginger.
Excuse me. Sorry, now, is this a character assassination? I thought this was a game.
Now, if that's true, that's going to blow my mind.
Sorry, so what is thing? This?
Well, let's entertain the idea that you're not.
Is this a hatchet job?
No, what do you mean?
Well, if you're not, why are you? So, like,
why have you chosen to look the way you look?
That's the avenue I thought we could explore.
But I had you up there with all the famous gingers. You, Sharon, some others.
That's what I mean. It puts you in a niche crowd of generally good people.
It does. Is that why you do it?
Well, I don't know what you're talking about. Okay. Why do what?
Well, it's saying, if it's true, that you dye your hair like Alma.
Like Alma?
Yeah.
Well, she dyes hers blonde, doesn't she?
Yeah.
So one time I interviewed Adele, another ginger, on the red carpet once, and she was saying, "Oh, we're ginger sisters," you know, because I always, the auburn carpet, as we call it, and
don't call it that. You realised about 10 seconds after me why that's not on. I think you've just realised.
Okay, good. Anyway. So I was chatting to her and she was like, but we're real gingers. And I kind of didn't really confirm or deny.
Right.
And she said, but, you know, who's not real? Paloma Faith.
Is she not?
Not
the chat you were genuinely having with Adele?
Yeah. So she was out in the left, right and centre.
That's so good. So I'm not playing the game. You are. Alice Levine, ginger or not? Alice.
I'm going to say no real.
Okay.
Well, I'll just copy her answer because she knows. So no real.
So, no real, meaning that she is ginger, yeah?
Yes.
That one is real.
Sorry.
Not really. That was
sabotage.
Are you not ginger?
Not actual ginger?
It's faux.
What are you then?
What are you? Show yourself.
Who are you? I don't know you anymore.
No way.
That dark brown.
So you do it for effect?
For effect. Well, it's not a smoke machine.
It's working for you, Bebs. I'm just a bit shocked.
No, hang on. Don't, like, why?
What do you mean, why?
Because she likes the colour of it and it suits her.
I'm very pale, aren't I? It's kind of the colour I should have been.
More after this.
Scott Mills.
Share the joke, guys.
Oh, go on.
Just some of the messages coming in. Absolutely in shock about this revelation with Alice.
I know. Some people are saying they're gutted, their mind is blown.
Kyle has put, what else is she lying about?
Yeah.
Somebody's put, well, you think you know a person.
Alice Levine's with us. She's not ginger.
Yes, well, I am ginger. I'm just not naturally ginger.
And here's your next fact.
Radio 1's money-saving expert, Matt Edmondson, often lends colleagues board games, but charges a small rent little fee to cover costs and expenses.
Oh, Matt.
He does.
He is Radio 1's money-saving expert, of course. If you need a money-saving tip, Matt Emerson's your guy.
Absolutely. He was in the office yesterday, actually, and there was a little gathering as he was playing a new board game that he'd brought in. Had lots of kit to it. Did you see it?
No.
He'd like set up on one of the high desks and had, you know, like at the mobile phone shop, the posh mobile phone shop where you can drop in and get advice. He's got like a drop-in centre if you want board game advice.
He loves a board game.
Loves it.
Or any kind of quiz.
He sells tricks as well, doesn't he? He has like a packet of cards and he'll be like, right, give him a little bit of money there and he performs something.
It's because it makes him spend absolutely no money.
Yeah,
which is his favourite thing.
Although he does always have a pack of, I think they are Magic Standard cards. They're not cheap cards that he has on him.
Yeah, but he bought them once.
Yeah, exactly. And then keeps good care of them.
And probs eBay one bidder.
He does this trick, right? He does this trick and I'm sure he's done it on us all here. It blows my mind. He can work out my PIN code on my phone.
That's not a thing.
What do you mean?
I hand him my phone and he works out my PIN code on my phone.
I thought he's you magic. Meant on your
card.
He
does it to so many. He does it to everyone. I've seen him do it. I don't know how
but
he
how?
Does it. Oh, Scott, I've tried Googling it. I've done everything. I cannot find out how he does it.
That's mad.
And he doesn't just know it before someone thinks that, you know, I've given it away on a night out or something.
Well, what's his trick? He is clever.
Maybe he is a wizard. I mean, none of us have questioned that. He doesn't age.
No.
Like a wizard. He knows tricks.
Yeah.
Like a wizard.
Exactly.
He can make like a pound turn into 5,000
yes.
just because of his secret little money saving.
40 years old, face of a child.
I know.
Exactly. Maybe he is a wizard.
So, does Matt Edmondson lend colleagues board games, but a little bit of rental fee, please, to cover costs and expenses, real or no real?
I'm wondering if, because I have borrowed a board game from him before and haven't yet got the invoice, so I'm thinking maybe it was like a gateway board game, so he was getting me involved in the board game world.
Yeah, and then he'll hit you with the hard
stuff. And then
he'll
hit me. So, so I'm going to say real.
I go no real.
That one is nor real.
But he does, you're right, lend games out in the office, most recently to Stefan Powell off the news. But he doesn't charge. He just loves to spread the word about good board games.
He is evangelical about them.
And next.
The final 10 contestants on the Channel 4 reality show Eden, where a cast of 23 people were left to fend for themselves in a remote part of the Scottish Highlands for an entire year, have returned home, only to find that just 4 episodes of the programme have been broadcast.
Wow.
It's quite... The things with those types of shows, you think you're going to go on them and you think you're going to be famous. I love the idea of putting a load of people in the Big Brother house, right? But nothing ever being shown. So they think they're on TV, right? But nothing... It doesn't get shown, which I know defeats the point of it.
But
for their egos.
So they've been cut off from the world in a remote part of the Highlands for a year, which was the original premise of the show.
An actual year.
A whole year. But then they've all come home because the year's out and they're like, oh, it's not on TV.
Mm.
In fact, only 4 episodes have ever been broadcast. But why do they keep them out there for a year?
Do you remember? It's a bit like Taran say, hey!
What's that then?
That original Castaway one, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Where they all... Was it Ben Fogle?
Yes.
Is that where we know Ben Fogle from?
I think so, yeah.
Well, you would be devastated, wouldn't you? Because like Chris says, that's part of the deal, surely. You get some little vids out of it.
Mills would do a show like that, but only if it was guaranteed a certain amount of airtime.
Well, you just expect, if they're telling you it's going to be on TV, that it is.
I feel like you've been burnt this way before. Ended up on the cutting room floor.
I have.
You've learnt from mistakes in the past, haven't you, Scott?
Yes, I have.
It's always in the contract now.
This can't be real, can it? Is this real?
This is ridiculous. I'm going to say this is actually real, because I haven't seen loads of episodes of this, has it?
Yeah, I'm going to go no real.
That one is real.
Right, listen to this. So producers spent hundreds of thousands of pounds building a set on a 600-acre estate at the very north of the UK and found people willing to give up a year of their lives. No one knows if the rest of the footage will ever make it to air.
No one knows.
13 people left after falling out with the rest of the group, and viewing figures fell from 1.7 million to less than 800,000 over the first couple of episodes. None of the remaining contestants, when they came back, knew about Theresa May, Brexit, President Trump, or that Leicester are Premier League champions.
Wow. No!
That's madness.
That's insane.
At the end of that round of Real or No Reels.
It's a draw. I got 10. Alice, you got 10.
I'm pleased with that.
I can't believe they left them out there for a year.
Alice, can you update your Wikipedia, please? A few people are saying that I'm listed as your spouse.
Yeah, I saw saw that yesterday.
What do you mean?
I was going to send that to you just to check you hadn't put that on there.
I haven't put it on there.
Well, don't say it like that. You could do worse.
You could do worse.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're fake news.
I'll get it updated post-haste. Thank you.
Someone says, look at your phone in the light and you'll see your fingerprints over the space where your pin goes. A few attempts at the combination, you can get in. Is that how he does it?
I don't know. He's a wizard.
Have I revealed something awful there?
Yeah, I think you really have.
That's not great, is it?
No.
Is that?
Don't encourage that.
Right, no, I'm not encouraging it. Anyway, thanks, Foginger. And when are you back on?
I'm back on right now.
Oh, yeah, you're on. 3 minutes. Get yourself next door.
Scott Mills.
Remember, if you want to confess to anything, get the truth out on Radio 1. Email me, scott.mills@bbc.co.uk. Back tomorrow for the last one of the week from 1 o'clock on Radio 1. Scott Mills, BBC Radio 1.